Rich Fahey is joining us from On Boston Stages, former North Shore writer, but now he writes all over the place. Rich Fahey was at the Item for so many years. And Rich, first, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Bill. Nice to talk to you again.
Well, one of the things that we have ignored the last several weeks is entertainment. And because we're mostly just getting it on our televisions, I guess, in different formats, in different ways. But your blog, if you will, has been, you review all kinds of theater over the years and so on for many, many years. And I guess and writing different pieces as well. Maybe share something with us, Rich. I know you've just written a piece on us senior citizens, if you will, and how we're handling things during all of this.
Well, it's hard to find. I think the first thing to go when we have a situation like this is our ability to laugh. And of course, that's vital to us, to our existence as human beings. So what I put together, and I hope is going to run soon, the local section of the Boston Globe, is a piece about an inside Olympics for seniors who are quarantining. You could have events tailored right to us and our abilities and our what called like perhaps we'd do extreme digital couponing where you could do what I did recently and bring down a $54 purchase to $22.59 just by hacking a few coupons. We could do seniors versus technology where we all attempt to set up that Amazon Echo we got years ago we never opened, and that at the end we'd have a group of 8-year-olds come down to show us how we should have done it. There's also the doing crossword puzzles in ink and without using a smartphone event, which I think would be especially daring. But you get the idea. There's the story that never ends competition for us who tend to go on. The prescription challenge, where we would have to name all the drugs we're taking, the strength of those drugs, and the amount we take daily. Well, the greatest events I've ever slept through, my late dad, Tom Fahey, would. Actually, I got him a matinee for Les Miserables, but he did call it the greatest event he'd ever slept through after he experienced it. So that's what it's about, just trying to give people a chuckle and maybe have us laugh, us seniors get a laugh at our own expense. Because you look in the mirror and we can laugh at ourselves a little bit, because really that's the best kind of humor when you don't take yourself too seriously and you're able to laugh.
Yeah, my wife is going through crossword puzzles like the market basket goes through toilet paper, you know, man.
Well, hopefully, is she that daring? Is Terry daring enough, though, to do them in ink?
You know,
the ultimate challenge?
No, she is doing them in ink. She does do them in ink, but she does have her smartphone handy, though, at times.
Okay.
Which is more dependable than asking me. But once in a while, I get a sports question. Yeah.
Okay, I hear you.
Rich, the North Shore Music Theater has made an announcement this week that they are postponing their season that would have started soon, right? And into September?
It would have been next month in May, that's right. The traditional opener would have been next month.
And of course, you're all over the North Shore Music Theater and other venues around Greater Boston. So what can you tell me about that and your reaction to that move, which is probably no surprise?
Yeah, no surprise, because we kind of have a look at what May and June are going to look like now, and I think Bill Haney is a smart man and a smart businessman and a responsible businessman, and he doesn't want to bring a lot of the audience to North Shore Music Theater. The demographic skews older, as it does at many, many theaters. I mean, they have shows where they try to have the grandparents or the parents bring in kids in the summer, especially when they're off school, family musicals and things, but traditionally, it's been an older crowd, so I think he feels he has to be responsible when he reopens, and he has to give it time, and everything in our lives is subject to change. So he's starting out, he's got kind of a wraparound season, which starts late and then incorporates, I think, things that were going to happen anyway with other things from next year, and so I think, but it's one of those things where it looks like it's everything is subject to change as our lives are from day to day. So now he'll start in September, and he'll have Christmas Carol as always. I think it's the 30th year. And then he'll go through the winter, the actual winter with shows, which they've I don't believe they've ever done before. First time in the history of the theater that it's going to be running in January, February, March, April months as well. I mean, they would, you know, they enclosed many years ago now, which allowed them to go right through the fall all the way through to Christmas. But this is the first time they're going to be going right through the bad weather months. So that has its own, you know, variables that are concerning. But I think everything, I think he's doing his best to just give people something to hang their hat on. And what happens with people who are going to still be perhaps cautious about going out to the theater until some kind of a, you know, silver bullet treatment or a vaccine comes available. That's another variable he has to factor in. Perhaps people are going, even with maybe an all clear comes from government officials to go out, what it's going to look like. Is social distancing still going to be in effect in September? Will it have to be 6 feet every other row, every other seat? How is that going to work if that's still in effect? So there are just so many variables. I don't even know how much planning you can actually. You have to go ahead and plan and then be able to kind of pivot on a dime if you have to.
Yeah, you know, I look at that venue, Rich, and, you know, I mean, you can only, if you do 6 feet front to back, I mean, you can only do like two people and then another 6 feet. I mean, it's you can't do it that. Yeah, you couldn't do it.
To me, like a 25-30% of capacity would be at the, you know, I have no idea if that's even correct. I mean, who knows what it would be.
Yeah, no.
But that, I don't know if that's sustainable to run North Shore Music Theater, which is, I think, 1,800 seats or whatever it is now in the configuration.
But you know, Rich, you bring up a good point, though, is the intergenerational piece here. We talk, I'm aware of it as far as families. You have families with multiple generations in a household, and that's problematic because young people could go out, bring back the virus into the family. But you're right. I mean, looking at the North Shore Music Theater as, you know, even if you have shows with young people and their grandparents might normally bring them or parents and stuff, you do have this generational thing that but as you mentioned, Bill Haney probably very much aware of that. And it's one of those things that people are going to be slow to come back to that, even if we get a little bit of a green light here in the month ahead here.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there is no more great family show than the Christmas Carol, which they've been running for 30 years now. And all generations, it's three, four generations, the same family going to the same show in many cases. People have come year after year and loved it. So, but it's not like he's the only one that is out there that's skating on thin ice with and even planning anything. Everyone, all the theater world is in the same boat. And some of them have resources and endowments and everything. Bill is, he's a for-profit, not non-profit, but that doesn't mean, yeah, I don't even know if he'd be eligible for any aid, you know. He'd be eligible, probably, for small business aid and loans of some sort. I'm sure that's true. But not aid going to nonprofits who have, ART have the Harvard backing, and Huntington, which has a lot of longtime donors, well-off donors who support the theater every year. So those people, I think they have a lot of staying power. But Bill has to, he has to make a profit or else close his doors at some point, and he's going to do the best he can to balance the risks and getting people in. And what it's going to look like, we don't know. I just wish him and all people, all theater people, many of whom don't have a security, and they're, whenever they're performing, they're always auditioning for their next job. You know, I mean, they're always working towards the next thing, and sometimes it's out there and sometimes it isn't. So
yeah, right. Performers are
not there for any of them right now. So I think there's a theater benevolence fund that's out there that I know the person who is clerk of it is Elise Robbins, who works over at Greater Boston Stage Company. I'm sure if you wanted to make a donation and just in the name of a local theater group that you enjoy or an actor and actress that she'd love to hear from you over there at Greater Boston Stage in Stoneham, and because I think it's very tough. I mean, only the best of the best actors have the kind of security where they don't have to worry about their next job or anything. And we have all this great talent in the Boston area, but we don't have the best security for them all the time in terms of going, you know, making, paying the bills without having to do a second or a third or a fourth job on the side, too, at the same time.
Yeah, you know, Rich, it just does point out how, you know, as solid as things seem to have been 2 months ago, how fragile yet they all can be. It's crazy, really crazy.
I think one of the big problems is balancing public safety with trying to stay out of a depression or severe recession, because that has its own public health problems, too. When you have bankruptcies and you have you know, losing your, say, your life savings in a restaurant, you have problems. You have possible suicide. You have, I said bankruptcies, couples breaking up over money. So these all are factored in to the public health aspect of that. I mean, because that has its own public health challenges, too. Just the economic fallout that has, that affects people, you know, in its own way, different from a virus, but it does affect them.
Yeah, absolutely. Rich, always good talking with you, and hopefully we'll check back again in not too long from now, and hopefully we'll have some maybe a little light at the end of the tunnel, the show tunnel, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think hope people will go on, and you know, you can find great things on YouTube. A lot of great old musicals are up there on YouTube. You can find PBS, I think, is streaming some of their great performances shows for free. I think you can find those. Those are some great musicals and musical performances that you can stream from PBS. And so if you can still get a little bit of your fix in the theater if you're looking for streaming options while you're waiting for the real thing again.
And next time, Rich, maybe you can come back and do a show tune or two for us. That'd be great.
Okay. Yeah, a little rusty, Bill, but anyway, great to talk to you.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you, Rich. Rich Fahey, again, his blog is on Boston Stages, and we have a link to it on our website. And this is Connections.